The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. What a weekend. I think it's easy to sit here today and say the Saints were screwed, the refs suck, Patrick Mahomes is really good, Andy Reid deserves better, Tom Brady's the greatest ever, the refs suck. Eric, do you think that pretty much sums up? That's the show. Thanks for being with us. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric, have a great day.
Yeah, the refs suck, but guess what? The Saints had a lot of different chances to win that game. And it was a blatantly missed call. Don't get me wrong. Blatantly missed. But.
Wow.
It happens.
We last, I don't know where you were yesterday afternoon. We texted just briefly because Sorensen was on the field. I actually thought about turning that into a bit for today's show. Because Sorensen for the Chiefs. And then somebody asked, is this you're related to you? Which I thought was very funny.
Wrong spelling, but. And I don't even like the Chiefs, but I do like Sorensen.
Sorensen was good, man.
He was.
He was a crusher. So where we were at home, but our neighborhood has Chief fans. And so there's these loud roars going on in our neighborhood last night. I guess we didn't have any Saints fans. I decided to lay low. I didn't want to go out and do my thing out in sports bar or whatever. So it was just cool to hang out. But as the game progressed last night, of the two games, if you're going to say this game was better than that game, I think Tony Romo actually made watching the Chiefs and Patriots more enjoyable for me because he was calling every play before it happened. It's like he's a catcher behind, or he's the broadcaster that is, he's Bob Brenly. Except in baseball, this would be a good spot for a fastball outside. It's a fastball outside. Tony Romo was flat dealing last night in his element. And there's people who don't like broadcasters, I don't want to watch this guy or that guy. Like I thought CBS's halftime show of the Chiefs game was lame. It was just lame. They laid it out, the most controversial play, the no call in NOLA, the no call in the Saints game. Coming up at the half, we're going to tell you about what happened in the first half here and the big story down in New Orleans where the Rams are moving on to the Super Bowl. No, and the controversial call by the officials that didn't get called in the Rams-Saints game. But because CBS is partners with the NFL, no way, shape, or form would they turn it into, and can you believe the referees missed this play in the final moments that cost the Saints a shot at the Super Bowl? I can't look at this game and not say that that play didn't impact the outcome of the game. Anybody who says, well, the Rams did this and the Saints didn't do that. No, I'm not buying that. Do I think that there's someone somewhere that wanted the Rams and Patriots in the Super Bowl because of the dollars that were at stake? Sure, I do. Do I think that's what happened on that play? I'm not going to suggest that that is what happened on that play, but I know that it's just human emotion. This will bring many more dollars to us than Saints and Chiefs. It just will. And so as that game was wrapping up, and Greg Zuerlein is just Legatron. I just love what he's all about. 57 would have been good from 77. So the early game was a lot of fun. You're down 13 to nothing. But today it will all be about the referees and what can we do to change the game and what direction can we go to change the game. And I kind of look at it from this standpoint. I'm sitting here in Scottsdale in a hermetically sealed studio. And what do the Arizona Cardinals have to do to get to where the Saints and the Rams are? They're a long, long, long ways away. And you can say, well, teams can turn around in a hurry. But you look at both those franchises, and now that Jared Goff, remember when Jared Goff, it cost them 2 ones, 2 twos, and 2 threes. It's, oh my gosh, the price tag is just outrageous. Nobody should be paying that amount of money for a player like that. I don't know. How's it working out for the Rams now? It's not about what's it going to look like in 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. It's all about can you win in the present? It's like the Cardinals are sitting here with David Johnson having so much tread left on the tires. As running backs, they go away pretty quickly. Larry Fitzgerald, I don't know if he's going to be back or not. Each franchise, Drew Brees, I don't know if he'll ever get to that point again. The no call in NOLA goes down right alongside of the Holy Roller, the Ice Bowl. Think of the great iconic plays in the history of the NFL, because there's nobody that can defend that. There's nobody that can defend what happened yesterday. Those of you, and here's the headlines from yesterday. Nobody can say that the referees did the right thing by sucking on the whistle, other than if you're a Rams fan. And if you're one of those that takes the stance of, well, it was great to see them let the guys play the game on the field. Where do you draw the line in letting them play the game on the field? Even if you're that guy that says, yeah, you got to let some things go because they're this close to Super Bowl and you can't just have it on that one call. No. No. I think if you were to go back and look at that play and then see how the player from the Rams handled it afterwards, Coleman's quote afterwards is, I got away with one tonight. That was his quote. I got away with one tonight. He knows they shouldn't be there. I don't know if the Saints are going to score off that play, but I have a pretty good feeling that they would. So between the interference penalty, the refs missing just a blatant call there, the early game ends up being the referees screwed over the Saints. The late game only, I don't know how, if you're Tom Brady, you can solidify your standing as a GOAT more than what he did last night. And to even need to do that. I mean, it was just awesome stuff. And all these replays, it was kind of fun. I had fun with it. You know, what would the Pac-12 replay system have done? And some people were putting it's a home run. I just thought it was great. It's fun. It's fun when you're on social and people aren't taking it all too serious. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And that means you've got to do it through life insurance. Guys, if something were to happen to you today, do you have it all figured out? Do you have it line by line where people are going to go after you're gone? Something were to happen to you today, is everything handled, everything taken care of? Sagicor can do that because they care about you. I'm a licensed agent now with Sagicor. I believe so strongly in them. When they came to me and said, we want you to be part of our team, I said, I'll go get my license. I've been able to help people. It's pretty cool. And not everybody's got it figured out. In fact, most people don't. We're sitting with someone the other day and they were talking to us about pension protection. They had no idea there's such a thing as pension protection. Yeah, if the person getting the pension is gone, what happens to that pension? It's not like it just rolls over to you. Think about these things a little bit. It doesn't take that much time. Log on to Sagicor now, get your free quote. Sagicor, we appreciate Sagicor and their support. Jude LaCava will join us coming up at 10:35. We'll bounce around some things going on in the football world. The story that did not get a whole lot of run yesterday, but the story that I think, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you're going to be losing your mind. So this is right in our wheelhouse. So Brophy Prep's coach is John Kitna, the former quarterback with the Seattle Seahawks, played with the Dallas Cowboys, played with the Cincinnati Bengals. John Kitna yesterday morning, actually started hearing this Saturday afternoon, John Kitna yesterday comes out as likely going to be named the new quarterback coach for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know how this plays with Cowboy fans. Those of you that watch us through the years, you know I like to have fun at the Cowboy fans' expense because most of you guys are nuts. Most of you guys are over the top crazy about your team. When your team's not good, like most years, you're going to tell me they're good because they're the Dallas Cowboys. And you can talk about Roger Staubach and Danny White and Tony Dorsett and Drew Pearson and all that stuff. And I'll just simply say, how many Super Bowls have you won with Jerry Jones? Well, what about your team? I don't have a team. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care. So I can sit here on the sidelines and say, hey, how does it work that you hire a high school football coach to become the quarterback coach of the Dallas Cowboys? I could be that guy. I'm not that guy. John Kitna has a great resume. John Kitna finished his career with the Dallas Cowboys. John Kitna was part of the Alliance Football League, too, working with the San Diego team. I don't think the Cowboy ownership is a bunch of dolts. You know, they did get to a point where they got the playoffs this year, at least. Give them credit for that. But I know that with Cowboy fan, it's, hey, you hired Brophy's head coach to be your quarterback coach. Knock yourself out. Good job. And now Brophy comes open. Eric, I'm thinking that when Sean Aguano left Chandler and Brophy now comes open, there's got to be some guys. Scooter Molander can't go back to Brophy. He's going to Eastmark. But there's got to be some guys around the valley saying, wow, those are two primo jobs that have suddenly come open. Now, if a guy like Jason Mons looks at those jobs and says, you know, I've done pretty much everything I can do at Saguaro. You don't think so? You think he's going to go that direction?
No. I think the next time Jason Mons leaves, it'll be for a college job. I don't think he's interested in hopscotching around from high school to high school.
Who's some other coaches you think are have done their thing? Zupke done his thing?
No, because he hasn't won a title yet.
Haven't won a title yet?
He's been close. This year they got further than they ever have. But.
Wild card would be Kerry Taylor over at Arcadia because he's a former Sun Devil and he likes to tell everybody how great the program is and the direction they're going. And you got two primo jobs open. I mean, primo national jobs that are now sitting there open.
Yeah, and that could be a case where these schools bring in a national name. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone local. But
were you surprised about Kitna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense.
He had to have known Jerry Jones when he was there.
Sure.
I mean, that's the deal on that.
And Kitna, from everything that Carson Palmer has said and the other quarterbacks that he's either mentored or been around, they can't speak highly enough of him. So, and he did a great job at Brophy last year. Got that thing going in the right direction again. After Scooter had essentially like 1.5 bad years after getting the playoffs every year. But
that story caught my eye, too. All right, we'll take a break. Jude is going to be with us at about 10:35, Jude LaCava. It's always good to have Jude jump on in with us. We've got Tony Dungy coming up later in the week, which will be fun to catch up with the coach from NBC Football Night in America. We have our Football AZ's show on Fox Sports Arizona with multiple airings this week. Kevin Mawai will be part of that. Kevin Mawai, ASU analyst, offensive line assistant, I guess the best way to put it, without that title. He is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Believe it or not, ASU opens spring ball 2 weeks from now. I mean, how fast does this go? Right into spring football. So on the other side, we'll talk more about what can change. Does the NFL need to have change? Also, a few other things that I saw from the weekend. As we motor along on a Monday, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so let's go a little deeper into what happens now with the NFL. I'm of the opinion that today Roger Goodell loves every last bit of talking heads sitting here debating about what can be done in the NFL. I don't think that Roger Goodell gets all that worked up about how the officiating yesterday blew, especially in the Saints game with a minute 49 to go in the fourth quarter, 3rd and 10 at the Rams 13-yard line, and Drew Brees throws to the right sideline near the goal line. Clear pass interference. If they make the first down, Saints could have taken the clock down, so there would have been no time left for the Rams. The Rams only had one timeout left, no flag. That means the pass is incomplete. That means the clock stops. Saints kick a field goal. Okay. Rams are down 23-20, but they're inside the 2-minute warning. Drove to get the tying field goal and forced overtime. So you could say Jared Goff and company did what they needed to do yesterday. The question, if the flag gets thrown, does the outcome change? The Saints say absolutely the outcome changes. And we're going to sit here today and go back and forth on it. The side judge or the down judge, I don't know which judge was the one that should have thrown the flag. Should both be fired for missing this pass interference penalty? What type of action can the NFL take today? Today, there's got to be something coming out of the league office. And usually what happens on days like this, the NFL, we admit we screwed up. Instead, Sean Payton said after the game last night that he talked with the league office after the game. And they said, yeah, we missed the call. To take away officials off of missed calls at any point in time, when you get all the way, you're graded out. Officials are graded on their work during the course of the season. There's some officiating crews that we get very used to seeing here in Arizona when the Cardinals blow. If I see a Jerome Boger crew, I know the Cardinals have had a bad season. I know there's going to be a lot of penalties. I know I'm going to sit around. It's no different than in the NBA. You'd see officials come out of the locker room and walk out of the tunnel because the players don't know, the coaches don't know in the NBA until right before game time who's refereeing a game. And so you would, you knew that if a certain someone walked out, if Steve Javy back in the day walked out of the locker room, there's going to be a little bit more leeway in a basketball game. So if you're a physical team like the Suns back in the day with Amari and so on, even Charles, it's gonna be to their benefit. I don't know what's going to happen if the because of yesterday being so egregious in front of a national audience, if Roger Goodell is going to walk in and say, I want the head of officials fired. I want him gone. I want him out of here. We have to clean our mess up because this was embarrassing to us. Or, well, it's the human element. We are going to suspend a guy because here's the thing. If a player, if a ref is going to swallow his whistle in the biggest game, yeah, it's bigger than the Super Bowl to me. The championship games of each division, or each conference rather, are bigger to me because you've got to just get to the Super Bowl. You have to figure out a way to get there. So with every single play, and once you get to the Super Bowl, yeah, calls can get blown there too. It happens in all sports. I can't sit here today and say all of a sudden every play in football is going to be reviewable. You can't do that. You can't give unlimited challenges. You can't give unlimited reviews because if you do, you're going to have four-hour games.
But I kind of disagree with you on that. I think the NFL should have a rule in place where if there is an egregiously missed call like yesterday, Sean Payton can throw the challenge flag and the refs can go back and call the penalty. Because, Brad, in the NFL, they call so many you know how it is. It's so ticky-tack. Like, the DBs can't do anything. If you grab a guy 6 yards downfield, it's defensive holding or illegal contact. If the guy doesn't turn around the end zone on a badly underthrown ball, it's almost always pass interference. Even if the ball is 8 yards underthrown, if the receiver makes a play to go back on the ball and the DB runs into him, it's pass interference, regardless if it was a catchable pass or not. So yesterday, if there was a situation where a coach could throw the challenge flag, we wouldn't have all this controversy today. Yeah, the refs are going to miss calls. It's like balls and strikes in baseball. I know there's the human error element to
Don
it.
Don Denkinger. But if you're a fan of baseball, go look up Don Denkinger in World Series.
But today we should be talking about what a great game the Rams-Saints was. Not, oh yeah, the refs missed a call. The Saints should be in the Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. I just don't think that's
but
the
in
way
this
it
world,
should be.
In this world of clicks and impressions, likes and shares for a company like the NFL. It is a company.
It is.
Do they love what's going on today? There's not a chance that anything else makes it into mainstream today. Not a chance.
I tend to agree with that, but the NFL is king. Even when the product is bad during the regular season, like it has been the last few years.
Yes.
The playoffs, for the most part, especially the closer you get to the Super Bowl, always seem to follow the same great script, and yesterday's games were unbelievably good, compelling television, and I just wish that there wasn't all this controversy. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. But the NFL doesn't really need to worry about clicks. They print money. I mean, they like.
Oh, there's never enough clicks, though. I mean, come on, you got to go for more of a. You have to go for more of where the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which they're not any longer. The NBA is coming along, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing. I think other sports have figured out you can go create your own network, you can go create your own niche. But when I see the NFL and how compelling it is in January and how well and hard every player is in January versus the slop that I see in September and even into October now, which is nothing more than don't get hurt. Yeah, you're not going to play every play, and that's not the case across the board. But there's guys that are saving themselves because they know it's a war of attrition. This goes back to why August is a complete joke in the calendar of sports. August is not even worth watching, and it's not even worth paying attention to. I'm probably going to take August, the whole month of August, off this year because it's so obnoxious to sit there and see stuff that doesn't matter and players putting their bodies on the line when it doesn't mean a damn thing. If they go back, Peter King wrote this morning that he is of the opinion, or he talked to some people in the league last night. They're of the opinion that they should pay big money to bring back Dean Blandino or Mike Pereira. What does that mean? I mean, they're not going to be the ones that are up there saying, hey, look, this is going to get everything turned around. Is it that Al Riveron, the EV of officiating, is going to be fired over that one play? Eric, to your point, Peter wrote this morning about expanding the number of challenges a coach can have during a game should not be allowed, but allow him to challenge a terrible call that he currently cannot challenge. So to your point, it's just, look, I can look up on the scoreboard and see that's a terrible call, and rather than just let it go, and the guy that was a part of the penalty saying I got away with one, that wouldn't happen any longer. I think lost in all this is Greg Zuerlein. Kickers don't get talked about that much. Kickers are usually made fun of. Kickers, it's always their fault. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That obnoxious commercial that Pepsi has, if they're going to ice the kicker, they should have a picture of Cody Parkey's face on there as it doinks off the goalpost. And they played it over and over and over yesterday. But Greg the Leg, Legatron, Greg Zuerlein's 57-yard field goal in overtime could have been good from 70. And that's on the road with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It's a great moment in sports yesterday. It was lost in what happened to the league. There's going to be something. I don't know if it's going to be today. They cannot fire the lead of officiating today. Got to wait till the Super Bowl is done. But the officiating buildup will go all the way to the game because of what happened yesterday. Jude LaCava is next. We'll bounce around some things in the Valley and nationally, too, with Fox 10 sports director, good friend of the show. That's next. Welcome back. So Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona. We'll have 14 airings this week. Tony Dungy is scheduled to be with us. We'll be good to catch up with the coach. Also, Kevin Mawai will Skype in. Kevin Mawai is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We spent some time with him. They'll both be on the show this week. Also, the recruiting roundup. One other thing before we get to Jude in the game yesterday, the offensive line of the Patriots. If we don't talk about offensive linemen very much, if at all, when it comes to referees blowing games, but the Patriots ran 94 offensive plays. Tom Brady threw the ball 46 times. New England had one negative play, and that was a Tom Brady kneel down. They allowed zero sacks and just one significant quarterback hit. So lost in everything about the officials suck, which is like the national headline today. That was something that caught my eye last night. And with that, here's the great Jude LaCava, Fox 10 sports director. All right, you want just like 10 minutes on how to fix the NFL officiating, or where do you want to go? Yesterday was great, but fire away on that or whatever's on your mind.
Well, I mean, I think that, look, you just said something that to me is the basis of every football team in America, and that is the old Paul Brown theory, the great, late, great Paul Brown, and that is the foundation of your football team is your offensive line.
Yep.
And, you know, look, if they weren't running the football and controlling the clock in the first half, they were protecting Brady when they needed to score points in the second half, and that, again, is often overlooked. And You know how bad it can get when you don't have the right personnel, a la the Arizona Cardinals this past season.
And seasons before.
Absolutely.
Been an awful line play here in Arizona for years, Jude.
Yeah, and I will say this. I'm not crazy about the assistant coaching staff, but I hear nothing but great things from Sean Coogler, who has a pretty strong history as an offensive line coach. So maybe, just maybe, I think he might be the best O-line coach, and this is going to take you way back to John Matsko when he was coaching under Joe Bugle in the early 90s. I do think Coogler and James Saxon, the running backs coach, are two of the assistants that stand out. Other than that, I'm not impressed. I'm not blown away by this Cliff Kingsbury staff, in that if you're going to do the, you know, out-of-box Cliff Kingsbury is our new head coach, then you better find the next Wade Phillips on the defensive side, or Chuck Pagano, or somebody who's got massive experience at the NFL level that can guide you back to a 3-4. So I do think there's some concerns there, and they'll be evident. I mean, Vance Joseph really is not a pure he's more of a 4-3 coach than he is a 3-4. So, and he just got fired. So I can't sit here and say I'm raving about the assistant coaching staff under Cliff Kingsbury. I'm just very curious to see how this plays out.
The Carl Mock was a good offensive line coach. Remember Big Carl?
Good. Very intense.
Yeah.
He was demanding. I thought he had a good little run here.
Alex Gibbs was here for a little bit, right? I mean, Alex Gibbs, I'm trying to think of the line coaches through the years with the
Cardinals. Well, I mean, if you look at, John Matsko was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm going way back to the early 90s. I think that, if you look at the best offensive line, in my mind, it was the one under Bugle that sent Johnny Johnson into the Pro Bowl. I mean, Louis Sharp, Tootie Robbins, Derek Kennard, Lance Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really, really strong group that could run the football and protect the quarterback. That really the holdover from the Neil Lomax days, but Bill Lewis. So I think, that's where it starts, man. That's where it starts, and that's why New England is where they're at again, back in a Super Bowl.
Okay, so the officiating yesterday, from your point of view, today, you've had some time to marinate on it. Do you fire the head of officiating? Is officiating just part of the game, like balls and strikes? Do you give expanded replay that a coach can just challenge a play out of the box? So he looks up on the screen and said, you guys flat miss it. So today we're not having the Saints got screwed discussion.
Listen, if you have challenges, three challenges, why not in a situation where you have to get it right, especially in an FC title game or any game for that matter?
Yeah.
Why can't you still use that challenge flag? If you're looking for a fail-safe system that allows you to get it right, and that's one thing that replay has done. And let's face it, even in that Kansas City-New England game, there were some really, really tough replay calls. Really tough.
Too critical.
Even
ones.
With replay,
yep.
You still didn't know if Edelman touched the ball. I mean, that was extremely difficult. And the other thing, too, on the offsides call. I mean, look, generally speaking, an official will say, a line judge will say, hey, look, get back, you're in neutral zone. So he doesn't have to throw that flag. So there were some judgment calls there that were really questionable.
The late hit on the quarterback was a horrible call, in my opinion.
Horrible call.
Yeah.
I do think that if you're going to, if it's a couple extra minutes, I don't care, get it right. You're going to define the season for the Saints on that call. And Saints fans, 20 years from now, they'll be talking about that blown call.
Sure.
So why not use the replay system as a fail-safe backup? Why not?
No call in NOLA. That's where it is. if you're the Arizona Cardinals ownership and management, and you're watching the NFC title game yesterday, and you're being truthful, you have truth serum in you, how far away are you from those two teams in terms of being able to compete?
At least 2 to 3 years away, if you want to give it a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an assortment of personnel issues, offensive line, wide receiver depth, linebacking, help in the secondary. I mean, this isn't just a new coach issue. This is an issue of personnel, of free agency and drafts that have to really go right, not just this year, but the next 2 years. And then you got to look at where the rest of the division is. I mean, the Rams are in the Super Bowl. Seattle's still very relevant with Russell Wilson, and the Niners are improving with Garoppolo back. So you got to put them in fourth place in the NFC West, the Cardinals, and you got to really just be honest about what is. Forget about this retool BS. It's a rebuild, a massive rebuild, with a coach that there's going to be a learning curve. I mean, the last thing Cards fans want to hear, Brad, is be patient. But if you think that everything from OTAs to how you run the splits in your air raid system to just understanding how certain defensive coordinators you go up against call games, there's going to be a learning curve for Cliff. There has to be. It's impossible not to be. So, that's why I would have liked to have seen him surrounded by extensive veteran experience coaches that have really, really understand the league inside and out. So let's see. But no, there's no getting around it. Massive rebuild.
Okay, so when you put out 2 to 3 years, and I happen to agree with you, we both know that the owner here is very impatient and is very PR conscious about what people are saying about his product in this town. I can't see them making the playoffs in the next year or two. That's just me. is he going to give Kingsbury enough rope? It's almost like the Cardinals are now in the Robert Sarver world of changing coaches just to change coaches every few years if things don't go right. And the same goes for Steve Keim. I mean, if Michael doesn't want to go out on the street because he's hearing it from fans, if they're 6-10 next year, and it may be a good 6-10 if there is such a thing, but I think there is. It's seeing progress. In the following year, they miss the playoffs. I guess, Jude, my question is Michael have the stomach to sit through 5 straight years of not making the postseason? How much rope is he going to give Cliff? How much rope is he going to give Steve?
Well, here's the problem. He just blew out Steve Wilkes. Good, bad, or indifferent. You can say what you want about Steve.
Right.
But he got less than a year. So now he's going to be forced to be patient. He does. Listen, I know one thing about Mike. He doesn't like writing checks, okay? I mean, look, he's not going to sit there and go, okay, I got to pay this assistant coaching staff off. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to pay Sam Bradford off. I mean, he wrote a lot of checks this year. And, you know, if you look at it, he's going to be forced to be patient. And so will the Red Sea, because there's no other – you can't just keep, you know, blowing out a coach after a year. He's got to be patient, and he's got to allow Cliff to grow, and he's got to make sure that the organization is supportive of that growth. And then he's got to hope that Steve Keim really buckles down and nails the draft. I mean, he's got to really hit on some key draft picks. And, you know, there's a lot of intangibles that have to go perfectly right for this team to be relevant within the next 2 or 3 years.
Last question, and that is, what do you do today sitting there with the number one overall pick?
I'm trading down because I need so much. Bosa's still, again, look at his brother. He's been injury prone. I think that it's not the deepest draft, but you need so much that if I can find a trading partner, somebody like the Raiders, yep, or somebody like the Giants, or who knows what, if they want a quarterback to replace Eli Manning, you've got to look at trading down, and you've got to be spot on. You've got to have the best draft you've had in a long, long time for the Arizona Cardinals. I think that's the only way you start to get numbers and talent and personnel to revive this franchise.
All right, what else is in your wheelhouse? What are you guys working on Sports Night? What's going on around town?
I mean, we're gonna sit down with Kurt Warner this week. You know, rematch of the Super Bowl between the Rams and Patriots. We'll reminisce and look ahead to, you know, McVay versus the established legend of Bill Belichick, and then we'll start looking at what this whole Super Bowl march means through the eyes of Max Starks when it comes to why it means so much to define a player's career. So we'll be focused in on what's happening. Keeping an eye on ASU hoops as well as they get set for a road trip to UCLA, USC, and not that far away, D-back spring training. So we hope to talk to Paul Goldschmidt as well.
Yeah, well, I'll see you at the 16th hole next week, too.
You got
it. You'll probably be out there, right?
You got it, man.
See ya. There's Jude.
All right, Brad.
Take care. It's Jude LaCava. Always good to catch up with Jude. I was going to ask Jude, but I ran out of time in the segment. So there was a play over the weekend. It was in the basketball arena on the college front. And we're going to show it to you next and talk about the greatest ones of all time in Arizona. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right, a couple other things before we get out of here. As I mentioned to Jude, next week is Waste Management Open Week, so we will be out there. Also next week is ASU at U of A. I will be going to that. Eric, spring football is the following week, I do believe, for ASU.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to...
It's right around the corner.
Yeah, and then the combine is in a month.
It's in a month.
It's over a month from now. So what do you want to cover? I'm going to go to Tucson. You want to go to Tucson or no?
Next Thursday?
It's a night. Yeah, Thursday night. You
sure.
Go to golf? You have friends in town.
I can't go.
You can't go.
I'm hosting.
I'll go to Tucson. This is how we strategize here. We just kind of figured out on the air for all
Yeah, it's
guys.
Probably something that no one cares about besides us. But so
no, it's U of ASU. It's U of ASU.
Seamless transition to ASU basketball.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's what I'm all about. So ASU had a huge weekend, really. I mean, Oregon State was a scrappy bunch, but that's a team that if you're ASU, you should beat at home. Then they took on Oregon, a very good Oregon team, I think an emerging Oregon team, and ASU just flat ran away from Oregon. We've seen great dunks through the years, and those of you that have watched, heard me through the years know that I don't care. If it's 2 points, it's 2 points. Can you hit a 15-foot jump shot in the clutch to win a game? Can you make freaking free throws, okay? But there are times where you have to say, oh, my goodness, this is one of those moments. This was the other night. This was Zylan Cheatham. Zylan Cheatham for ASU on the baseline over Kenny Wooten. I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately, this game was on the Pac-12 network, so not many people were able to see it. But those that were able to see it, that's about as good a dunk as you will ever see. And it got me thinking, I think there's a replay of it coming up here. It got me thinking of the best dunks. That's over another 6'11 man there. The other dunk that I can recall just off the top of my head as I was watching this was Kevin Johnson and the Suns. Those of you that have been around longer than a nanosecond here in Arizona, I am going old school on you. But there was the Kevin Johnson dunk against Hakeem Olajuwon. And so for comparing dunks, I think we've got this one. It's the play of KJ and how he just did something here that you wouldn't ordinarily see. That's a guard doing that.
That's also 1994, long before HD was ever a thing, as you can tell.
Are there wings on this shot? Yeah. You know? Does that mean we're old? It's still a great dunk. We're talking great dunks of all time in Arizona. Because remember,
this to me is better than Cheatham's dunk. Not to say that Cheatham's dunk wasn't great, because it was. But KJ is about an inch shorter than I am at 6'2". And Olajuwon is one of the greatest shot blockers in basketball history, not just NBA history.
Yeah. That was pretty strong. I'm trying to think of others. I'm sure there's some. I'm sure that DeAndre probably had something at U of A last year that I'm not remembering or recalling. But that was a pretty good play. And so now ASU and U of A both go to the LA schools this week. They play at USC and UCLA. And if you want to get a little bit of momentum going for both programs, I think that is that's the way to do it. A couple of notes before we get out of here from the weekend. I know that most of you do not follow what's going on the ice with the Coyotes. I am one of those that doesn't follow what's going on the ice with the Coyotes because I'm just so used to them not being relevant or a factor at all. And I'm not going to sit here every day and beat you over the head and say, man, you got to be paying attention to what the Coyotes are doing. But I'm going to tell you, you should be paying attention to what the Coyotes were doing. I watched a little bit of them the last couple of games and yesterday against Toronto. The Coyotes are just 4 points out of the last playoff spot. Just four. We haven't had anything of relevance when it comes to either the hockey team or the NBA team here in Phoenix in a long, long time. In fact, the Coyotes have been to the playoffs more recent than the Suns, if you wanted to just throw more embarrassment on top of the Suns. The Coyotes have been relevant in the last few years compared to the Suns. I should say last few years. The Suns have not been to the playoffs since 2010. I'll get it right. And the Coyotes have not been to the playoffs since, I believe, it's 2012. And they're 4 points out. They play Ottawa tomorrow night, a team that's not good. And this is now a point where you could look at them and say they're close. The Suns, on the other hand, they played yesterday against Minnesota, opposite of New England and Kansas City. There's not a chance I saw any of that game. Not one bit of a chance. And they lost against the buzzer. So that's the way it goes. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Today he is sick. He's going to infect Eric and Jordan and myself. And none of us are going to be here. No, I'm just kidding. But the Iron Man plays hurt. Appreciate his support. We are self-funded. That means that we get this done with those sponsors that you see during the show. We appreciate their support, and we ask you to support them for supporting us. Have yourself a great day.